that we start a Chazara now.
Rabbi, do you mind speaking about Damai again? Did you say that you wanted to have questions and answers? Or you just
no, I don't want to. I just want to keep on going. Let's just read it through now. So in the bottom of Kofala from Ad Aleph, let's just try to cover ground.
What is exactly the translation of Demai?
Demai. Mai means, I don't know. I don't really know the exact translation. But it involves fruits which are from an Amoretz. But I don't know what the exact translation of Demai.
My guess is that the Latin word dem, like in democracy, if that is Latin, unless it's Greek, I don't know. It probably stems from Greek. Then the populace, the Ami Haaretz, are the, like the populace, democracy.
Oh, could be. Yeah.
Maya is the we're not sure that was Masif, right?
Tani Rami Bachama, Psilos Ushman and Jama Chachamim, Ein Madlikim Ben Beshabbos, Ein Madlikim Ben Bemigdosh, Shem Shanem Ela Halos Ner Tamed. Hu Tani Lavu Amalo Kedei Shetehei Shal Heves Ola Me'eleo, Velo Shetehei Ola Al Yidei Dova Acha. Tanan, Mibeloi Mifnasei Kwanem Memeneim, Oy Mafkiyin, these were the Vuanat Bigde Kuhuna, Umehen Matlikim, and they would light the torches. Aye, these things don't burn well. The Apostle for Shabbos, and in Yontiv, in Mikdosh, it says, Lahalas Ne Tamid, Simchas Beis HaShoei B'Shadi. Now she says, Lok Siv Bo Lahalos, Velav Devaisi. And I never understood what the Gemara's question was. Why would we think that Simchas Beis HaShoei has to have such a good burning? I guess the Gemara thought that if it's something which you're not allowed to use in the menorah, then in general you shouldn't use it in the base of Mikdash for anything, because it's inferior. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's inferior, but base of Shoeva, we're not so productive, we're not so careful. Tosfos asked the Kashi, here's simple base of Shoeva Shani. Tosfos asks, Tema, Hechashori lahadlik, Halach tzorach korbanu, Amapeg beiz kedushin, Bigdei kuna shabolu, Mo'alam behem. So these things are also bahano. How do they use it? B'doch lo malei bezn masna lehen, the matzorach yeshlam lahas mishul zeh. You can't just say that for some reason the bezn made it mutter. Why should they do that? Nero Levi, the Hawilu, the Chobot, the Korban, the Hoyo Osin, the Chsiv, the Shaft, the Mayim, the Sasson, because this whole Simcha was for the Korban of the water. So, a Korban Choshev, like, it's, it's called Zorach Korban.
Exactly.
Gemara's question is that these things are not reliable. They flicker, so why would you be able to use that? Tyson's question, different question. How can you use something which is kodesh and burn it? So the answer is because it's helping you do the carbon of the mayim, so therefore it's within the mitzvah of the kedusha. Back into the sound. Okay, back into the Gemara. Toshe ma, the Tanya Amar Bar Masna, Big De Kuna Shabalu, Mafkiin Mehem, Mafkiin Osam, Mehem Hoyo Osam, Psilos Le Mekdosh, Psilos Mizilos for the menorah. My lab the climb, so this doesn't involve climb. In other words, wool, and wool doesn't burn well. Load the boots. It's only the linen, the garden, but you can't use the climb. You can't use the wool. Rashi says, which beggar is wool? Rashi says, Mehemineyem shall climb him. Tchsives or avnate. Sheish marzos cheles v'agamu kaimelon cheles imruhu tonil alien shabbos hosif aleim shal tzema lepsul tonil madlikim ben b'mikdash. The belt of the Kohen was made with wool for the shabbos. His other regadim were just plain linen. His pants and his shirt and his head gear was just linen. But the belt was made from shatnez.
The belt from shatnez, but the other things are
linen. Okay, more continues. Amar Rav Kuna, psilos ushmanim shama chachamim ein madlikim ben b'shabbos, because they're not reliable, ein madlikim ben b'chanukah, ben b'shabbos, ben b'chol. Can't light them on Chanukah, whether it's Friday, Shabbos, or Chol. Amar Rabbi, my time is up. When the kasava kavsa zakuk la, mutar lishtamish tiyorim. The candle that goes out has to be relit. Since these things, in other words, there's a special chiyuv, not just of hadlokas haneiros, but there's a special chiyuv to get piersim hanes. So kavsa zakuk la, you have to relight it for the piersim hanes. Since piersim hanes is such a very important chiyuv, the candles have to be reliable. They can't be the kinds of things which have a tendency to go out. Rashi says, "Kavsa nechanuka zokuk lo l'sakna." Tukach l'tzoch l'chadchila lasos yofa dilma pasha v'lo m'sakna. Therefore, he should make it good dilma pasha v'lo m'sakna. So there's a special list on Shabbos. Because since he's allowed to use the candle for the Or, so during the week, you cannot use according to Rav Huna the 4 weeks because Kavsa Zakukla. And as we explained, that means that you have to have a very reliable, which means to say 95% reliability. These things which are possible for Shabbos only have a 51% reliability. That's why they're also on Shabbos. So Kavsa Zakukla means that you're going to have to light it the second time. I remember last time when we learned the Gemara, we spent a lot of time discussing the second lighting according to Rav Huna. You're doing it for the piercing of the nest. So, how many brachas would you make? Is it a continuation of the first hadlaka, so there should be no bracha made? Or is it a new hadlaka, piercing a nest, and just make the bracha of shas and nisim? Or maybe it's a completely new hadlaka, both piercing a nest and lahatlik, we make both brachas. It's not so clear what Rav Huna would say.
So this answer is going to be a speculative answer.
Right, there are three possibilities. But I guess I could ask on the question, give the three possibilities and explain the logic behind each of the possibilities. What would be the Sevara? The second Hadlaka could have no bracha, one bracha, or two brachas. But from the second hadlok, kav zavuk, we'll light it again.
Did he say that on the first one?
Doesn't he made both brachas, of course, but he says to light it again. Doesn't say how many brachas you make. Maybe zero, maybe one, maybe two. Each of those positions has a svar, has a logic. Zero means that it's a continuation of the first hadlaka. Two means it's a completely new hadlaka. And if it's only one bracha, pirsa manes, means if you're just doing a pirsa manes, the mitzvah hadlaka you already achieved the first time. If you don't have to make another bracha of hadlik, you already did lahadlik. But you didn't fulfill the shas and nisim, so make another shas and nisim for the second time. That's why you can explain each of these three possibilities, but we don't know. The Gemara doesn't say. And then, from these three possibilities, we went off into a discussion of the Lubavitch versus the Rav. So the Lubavitch Rebbe seemingly is making Hadlakas Neiros just for Pesim and Nisa. But it doesn't have a mitzvah hadlaka, but the mitzvah hadlaka, the Gemara says later on, is Ne'er-ish in Beso, that the hadlaka you do in the bias, the Pesach of the bias, the Chalon of the bias, it's all has to do with the bias. Just to go light on bridges without a bias, there's no mitzvah hadlaka, but the Lubavitchers were doing it, so they apparently felt that you can be lighting things just for the piercing of the nest. Whereas Rabbi Soloveitchik was very strongly opposed. He felt that without a basic mitzvah hadlaka by a bias, you can't have a pirsa manes. So therefore, point Rabbi Soloveitchik, when Nefunda says you light it again, he would say to make both brachas, because you're lighting it again in the house, so it's a new hadlaka with a pirsa manes. Or maybe he would say you don't make any brachas, it's a continuation of the old one. But he doesn't believe in a special hadlaka of pirsa manes on the celebration. The Babich obviously does. Okay, that's a very important thing. The definitely going to ask you to explain the machlokas between the Babich and the Rav.
In the Habamim decisions, we know the Babich doesn't really hold. They hold the Shema.
Then actually later on, we discover the true reason for the Lubavitch.
You want us to discuss it in the Habamim stage?
We would say in a superficial understanding. Later on, we discovered that the Lubavitch already wrote exactly why he wanted to have the neighbors on the bridges. It had nothing to do with that explanation. He said that the reason he wants Hadlakas neighbors all over, because he says Jewish children in America were committing Shema. They were all into Christmas trees. They wanted to get gifts for Christmas. So he said we have to show them that there's a Jewish holiday which can replace Christmas. That's why it's make Hanukkah as popular as Christmas. So that's why he did it. So really, it had nothing to do with what we're saying. It had a completely different reason. Just it basically was a fellow's nefashis that the Rabbi should be. It wasn't the Hanukkah reason, it was never the Zohar reason. He didn't want the Jewish children doing never the Zohar with Christmas. Brisker don't even work that way. But Brisker can't even.
But how would Brisker mind think, I need to put this in some kind of halachic box?
That's why we got the first approach.
But now you're using a mitzvah.
But it's a different thing. Someone's, if he's saying it because of to stop babies or children from avoiding the Zara, okay, if you can do anything to save people from avoiding the Zara.
But they say the bracha on the lighting.
They say the bracha.
You say the bracha on the lighting and then there's some.
That's also, I can explain that as chinuch, because to teach the people how to make a bracha, we always say the name of Hashem. We do that in the yeshivas, we teach children brachos. So this is the purpose here is to get the Jewish children into Hanukkah. You can make the bracha for them. It's educational.
That was the real
swara. So nothing to do with the original. The original Briska interpretation is Prisma Ness, not Hadlaka.
Yeah.
That's really, that's a Briska, sort of a Reichman's Briska imagination categorization. But really, the truth is, they had nothing to do with that. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was coming from a completely different agenda.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
In terms of this issue, we did spend quite a lot of time on Rav Huna's opinion in terms of these three possibilities. But whether we offered a svara behind each one, not absolutely sure. We had some there was a lot of discussion on Shimshon. We spent a lot of time. He gave a difficult shot about maybe the first bracha is al tanai, or the last, and then it went out, and the first one is bracha batala, but you didn't like that because it's a difficult shot. We spent a lot of time. We said that it could be both, one run, maybe it's a hemshik of the original in there, finally, and there are no brachas. So was that enough to say as a svara?
As far as hemshik,
hemshik.
Zero bracha.
Right.
Or it's just Pearson Hanes. It's one bracha. Or it's Pearson Hanes with a new hadlaka. Then it's two brachas.
Pearson with a new bracha.
Isn't it? If it's a hemshek, it's just a continuation, then it's zero bracha. If it's a separate Pearson Hanes, but not mitzvah sadlaka, because mitzvah sadlaka he already achieved it the first time. This is just in order to get the pirsim hanes. Then it's only one bracha, just a nisim. If though you say in order to achieve pirsim hanes you have to do a hadlaka, so then you have to make two brachas. So it would be pirsim hanes with hadlaka.
So the first time was for no reason?
Huh?
So the first time over there was no reason when you light it twice.
No, you light it twice. You got the first time a mitzvah hadlaka without pirsim hanes. The second time you got a mitzvah hadlaka with pirsim hanes. So that
well,
creates.
Twice the bracha.
We say twice the bracha. According to this third approach.
So it won't be bracha like twice.
No, it won't, because you can do a double hadlaka as long as each hadlaka has a justification. The first hadlaka was justified because it's the first hadlaka. And the second hadlaka is justified because it's going to create the pirsim hanes.
Really, the first time was supposed to be both.
Should have, but it didn't.
Could you have in mind that if it goes out there, or light it again, if that's in the problem? Could you do that?
Maybe, if you had that in mind. Okay. Did we discuss that Ner Chanukah could become a Ner Shabbos with the Mutar L'Shtam Shdiora?
I think we said we were going to go into, but I'm not sure.
I don't think we ever did that, which is right over here. Okay. Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda says, Madlikim behen b'chol, avalo b'shabbos. He says, you make a hadlaka during the week, not on Shabbos, because k'sava k'vsa ain't a zafakla, u'muta l'shtam sh'yora. So if kavsa ain't a zakah kla, so fine. So you're already yotze. You don't have to have. So we explain. Let's see. Mudel shdam mishdiyah is zeir shem miyad. On Reb Zeim Rav Masim. On Reb Zeim Rav Rav. Pesulos v'shman v'shem chom ain't madlikim ben b'shabbos. Madlikim ben b'chanukah ben b'chol ben b'shabbos. Maybe in my time of the Rav. The sava kavsa ain't a zakah kla, but also the shdamish diola. Rabban and Kama da banish made the bringing of a kibla, because of Rabban and Kama da banish made the bringing of a kibla, or means of kavsa ain't a zakah kla, but also the shdamish diola. Rabban and Kama da banish made the bringing of a kibla, because of Rabban and Kama da banish made the bringing of a kibla, or means of kavsa ain't a zakah kla, but also the shdamish diola. Rabban and Kama da banish made the bringing of a kibla, because of Rabban and Kama da banish made the bringing of a kibla, or means of kavsa ain't a zakah kla, but also the shdamish diola. So the Gemara says, Kapsa ain't a zakakwa, you can use the inferior wicks. Because you already don't say, you don't have to be like them. But meanwhile, the Gemara says, even if kapsa ain't a zakakwa, you need a shear. You have to have enough oil that it should last. So what's the point of having such a shear that it should not go out, it should last? So how can you say kavsa ain't a zavukah at the same time say you have to have a shear? A shear means it should last. Kavsa ain't a zavukah means it doesn't have to last. How can you have it both ways? Yeah, so then, okay, it should have a potential. So, but he says that if kavsa ain't a zavukah, you can take psilos u'shmanin she'ein madlikim v'hem v'shabbos, which are very poor wicks and oils, so there's no potential. So how does that work? So we came up with what we call the statistical theory of cups, things like this. If something, in order for it to have a shear, in order for it to have a potential, it means 51% reliability is good enough, because rove, most of the times it's reliable, so then fine, it has a shear. But you say rubo, kakulo, or acharabim lahatos, so that if it has the potential most of the time, that's a shear. However, it's still not 95%, it's not a reliable, it's a shear. It's enough to be considered sufficient, but they cannot call it reliable. It's not reliable. So, it's not reliable. It doesn't have to be reliable because it should have the potential of piercing a nest, but you don't have to guarantee the piercing a nest. So 51% is good enough. If you say cups is up a claw, that means you have to guarantee the piercing a nest. Piercing a nest creates enough of a chiv, creates its own chiv. Kavsa zavukah means even if there was a hadlaka, you have to make a new piece of manes. Therefore, what kind of wicks do I need? Very reliable, because the piece of manes is the main part of a mitzvah. Not just a tznach, not just a conditional factor, but it's actually the core of the mitzvah. It's the core of the mitzvah. So you say kavsa zavukah, you have to light it again. You have to take good snores which are 95% reliable, because this is the core mitzvah, the ikka mitzvah, is piercing the nest. However, if kavsa ain't a zavukah, piercing the nest is nice, you do want it, it's nice, but it's not the ikka mitzvah. Since it's not the ikka mitzvah, so you don't need such a full, firm, reliable wick. You can take even unreliable things, as long as they have 51% potential. And if it goes out, you don't light it again, because it's not the ikka hametz. However, you do have to put it by the window, you have to put it by the front of the house, where there will be piercing the nest. You need a zman, the zman from Shetishka Chama Shetichu Rega Menashur, where people could see it. These are conditions which are necessary, but they're not the ikka hametz. That's what we have to say. Now, this is very important. Okay, now we had a long discussion about this last thing which we read here, mitzvasa mishetish mechamishtich ragam and ashok, and then the Gemara has two lashonos. One lashon is that this is the zman. This is the only time you're allowed to light, ilo adlik madlik, only during this period. And another thing is a shear, you need a certain amount of oil. So the Rif said that This is about a half an hour. About a half an hour. Now the Rambam, we look at the Rambam's here. And the Rambam said that it's kechotzi shah o yeser. It could be more than a half an hour, depending how long people are walking in the street. So first of all, according to the Rambam, it's the basis of the big brisk chumrah. That if you're living in a place where there's a lot of traffic and it goes on and on and on, you have to have candles burning that long. Because that's the way it is. Rambam, it's not that it depends from place to place. The Achatef recommend that sure. The Rambam says, Chotzi Shah or Yeser. Could be more. Minimum is a half an hour, and maximum is, depending where you live, how many people are in the street at any time. Now, in suburbs, most places are dead after, 7 o'clock.
You said like
in New York City, places are alive a long time. There's a lot of life on the city streets, most city streets, especially big ones. So you have to, according to the Rambam, you have a chiyuv to keep it going. It's a chum. Now, Tosfos came up with a whole new thing. The Re-Nirah, Tosfos says, the Re-Nirah, the Ata Ein Lachu Shmosa Yadlik, the Anu Ein Lano Hekev of Nebayis, Shamanikim Ubefneh. He said that this whole Zman of the Gemara, that you have to light until people are in the street, doesn't apply, because we don't light for street people, we're lighting for indoor family members. So the whole Alokos Neiris basically has changed. The Pirsim HaNes, instead of being Pirsim HaNes for the people in the Shuk, has become Pirsim HaNes for people living in the house. So therefore, he says you don't have to rush and do it right away. You can light. The beginning of Taisa said no. The beginning of Taisa says Mekan Be'elach Ober Hazman. If you don't light right away, it's too late. Amri Pares the Yesh Lezoy Lahalik Balad Miyah Shlo Yachay Yotzim Nidai. Come on, come on. Icha Yavet Masafik from Mishanish Niachrina. Amri Pares is very strict. He says you have to light right away. If you miss the Zman, you should do it without a bracha, because Noah has a lashon of the shir, not just a lashon of the zman. But the Re says, forget about the Gemara, we're lighting for the Bnei Bayis. So I gave a whole drasha here, if I'm not mistaken. The idea of lighting inside the Gemara says later on, it's because when there's a shah sakon, when it's dangerous to show it to the goyim, so the chachamim let you light indoors. So apparently it became a minute to light for family members, not to put it outside and not even put it by the window. Because they're afraid of pogroms. They're afraid of pogroms. Hanukkah and Christmas are usually around the same time. And Christmas is traditional pogrom season.
So that's the basis for the being? Isn't that using the historical pshat to explain
that? Yes, it is.
But that's acceptable.
In rare occasions.
Okay.
But we should know that's basically the basis.
That's the basic push of shah.
So what again says it to support? If a person delays, he loses the mitzvah to life.
First part of Tosfos.
Right, but anyway delays, he lies for his...
The end of the Tosfos has another idea. The Re says, no, you can delay because you're not lying for people in the street, you're lying for people
in the house.
Family. They're there the whole night, so as long as the people are up. And I quoted the Mishnah Brura, who says that it's actually a function within your own household, of when people go to sleep or not. If people are up, you can light. It'd be 11, 12, 1 o'clock. If they're sleeping, you can't. Or he says you can wake people up. Mishnah Brura says you can wake them up. So you'll have people to look at it.
or yourself.
Excuse me?
What if I look at myself?
Yes, so that's why we pointed out that there's an anomaly here, something very peculiar. A person's a bachelor, and he lives by himself. So he is the person, he's the audience for the person I met. If he lives with a family, they're the audience. And the times are determined by who the audience is.
All depends.
Right. Okay. If he's a loner by himself, I guess he defines his own time. If he's a family member, the family defines the time. Then we had a whole discussion, why is it that in Israel they put the candles outdoors? In America, we still do like the reed, we're lighting indoors for family. Why is it that it's a custom today that in Israel they went back to the Gemara's
they're more from Israel.
They go with the
and
people.
They're in the free country.
They put it outside. It's a free country. There's no Goyim that they're afraid of. Therefore, they decided to go back to the Gemara's approach, lighting it outdoors by the Pesach HaBayis. And people from the street should see it. In America, we still keep it indoors. Even though America is also a free... In fact, I happened to see this Chanukah. I was visiting a cousin and for a Chanukah party, and I saw that he talked about put the candles outdoors. In Teaneck. That's my cousin. You saw it also in Teaneck?
Awesome.
Seems that in Teaneck it's becoming more...
I saw it by Israeli family.
Israeli. No, my cousin's an American. He put it outdoors.
Thank you, Israeli family.
I like that. It was very good.
Just open it for a few minutes.
Sure, to get a little bit more, get some fresh air. So, I wanted to say, even though America's a nice country, but it still goes.
Wow. So what's stopping us? We're stopping ourselves.
We're stopping ourselves because we still feel not at home. We all feel, we feel sort of like strangers in America. We, those of us who are from, I'm afraid that some of the non-secular Jews feel very, very much at home. They consider themselves real Americans. For those of us who are from, we are Americans, but we still don't feel so comfortable.
That's a sevara that basically is.
That's why we're not ready to put it outdoors. Because outdoors means your mom is home. Your home. The street's your home. The street is your home. This here, the street. You and I walk up and down the streets, we don't feel that the streets are our home. We know that we're strangers in the streets.
In Brooklyn, they light inside or outside?
Inside, always inside. I've never seen you put them outside. I was specifically was looking.
So they felt the home falling and their shadows. They would light inside?
No, because they felt that they could be pogroms. They were afraid to put it outside.
They put it in the window,
that's home
inside.
The only place that, the thing is like this, this is very strange. This I don't understand. That there's some compromise that the American from Jews, as well as European Jews, they wouldn't put it outside, but they put it by the window. And the window also means you're lying to people in the street. It's a very funny thing. They're basically lighting for the family. That's why they can light late. But they still put it by the window.
It's a minhag.
It's a minhag. It's as if we're saying, we wish we could feel at home. We wish we could put it outside. But really, we're lighting for the family. But because of our wishes, we put it by the window to get from the outside also. Really, it's for the inside, which is for the family. That's why people were late when the father comes home from business, 7:30, 8 o'clock. It's way after the sunset and people walk through the streets. So we're not rushing to light early, because we're basically lighting, like Dumi says, for family. But we put it by the window to have some kind of
I don't think anybody thinks that we're doing this on the outside.
Just do it because that's how they did it all the time. They don't know why. Nah, since we're briskers, we have to give a shot. We can't just say people are doing it for no reason and
that's
the whole minute, which doesn't make any sense anymore.
Because
there's
nobody outside that the light is
more than
Drisk doesn't
learn that. How about the Jews are doing something, you have to try to give it a Drisker logic. You may be right, but that's a Bambadish approach. Not Drisk.
If you ask it like mediocre
Jew,
not a real.
We
have like
a plain Jew.
You will not know why we put it outside. That's why. You know?
I understand, but we have, the Gemara says many times that even though Jews don't know what they're doing, they're uneducated. But because they're doing it, It has a halachic logic.
Even though it doesn't apply.
Because otherwise the rabbis would have stopped it. The fact that the rabbis let it go, it must mean that there's a halachic logic to it. Even though the individual Jew who's doing this doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know why. So that's the case. He doesn't know why he puts it by the window.
So
he just knows that that's what everybody does. So we have to, but so since the rabbis didn't, the rabbis didn't make them put it outside. So we have to come up with some logic reasoning how to explain this compromise, basically.
I mean, if someone lives someplace where there's no Jews, he's still put by the window, even though there's no, even if he's interested in forgotten, there's something else.
Yeah, we discuss it, but it's not just a forgotten. We discuss this, because Rashi says, and the Raga, the Talmud Dori, that the people who sell the chopped wood, Rashi says, Shem Uman, these were God. So Kuwait is assuming these were God. So what I'm suggesting is like this, I might be right, I might be wrong. It's like come of Golos. Golos, so.
But it's an offspring of God, so what is a Sakana? I mean, now it's not a Sakana, but we still should do it for God, so we should put it outside. Even though we don't feel at home, because it's for the God, so we should put it outside also.
Right.
Because there's no Sakana anymore. We might not feel at home, but still have obligation for the world, so we should put it outside.
But we don't.
Right, so we should.
So why is it shot? So why not? So we have to suggest that even though it's not a sakana, but it's a gullus. And gullus can always turn into sakana any moment. Even though it seems very safe now in America, but we know that the nature of gullus, and that gullus is like skating on thin ice in the winter on the lake. You never know when the ice could crack. So therefore, we're afraid to put it outside. Because put it outside means they were basically feeling Chabad. They're not afraid of the ghosts. Chabad, they have a different attitude. They don't think that the ghosts, they think that the ghosts is a challenge that the Kaddish Baruch Hu gave us to bring Kedushin to the world.
Why can't we do that too?
Because we're not Chabad, we're Lithuanian cowards. We're the Lithuanian, the
not all of us.
The brave Jews became Chabad, and the cowardly Jews
were
not Chabad. So, we're afraid. We're afraid of the guy. The Chabad are not afraid of the guy. When they see a guy, They just see somebody that they're stronger. It makes them even more strong. If we see it going, we get afraid.
What they're doing is taking away the sukkah, and they're bringing it closer to the way they're taking away the sukkah.
Yeah. Well, usually what happens is that if someone shows gevura, courage and bravery for Hashem, it usually works out that that's actually more safe than if he shows fearfulness and cowardliness.
Should be proud.
Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps those Jews who are courageous. We'll soon see whether my statement now will hold water with the Jews in Gaza, who are very, very courageous and brave. I believe that Hashem will protect them and stay in Eretz Israel where they're living today. No one will be able to remove them. We'll see. And all the other Jews, unfortunately, including this religious Jews, say, no, we're afraid. You have to go away. We'll see. But this theory that someone who has faith and is strong will be able to have more safety than a faith can choose. But in any event, that's a Lubavitch. The Lubavitch has the reverse view of ghosts. They say, put it outside. Put it on the bridges. Because the ghost is not a sakana, it's a challenge, an opportunity to spread fearsomeness. But the Lithuanian Jews, the Polish Jews, they're afraid of the ghost. Therefore they will not put it outside. What they will do is put it by the window as a token statement that we do really want to do the person that's outside by the window, but it's inside the house because it's still the ghost. They have this funny compromise of the other Jews of lighting really for the family. That's why they light late, but put it by the window and give it an aspect of showing it to the world.
How about just the weather forecast is not good? There's wind outside and it's going to blow out the candles. That's why you put it in the window over there.
That's behind the window. You're getting a very plain Balbatish shot.
It's plain Balbatish, but it's not involving the secretion of the Jews in Lithuania and Poland that are afraid from the going. Because I heard of Shana, the person who is putting tefillin on his head is not allowed to be afraid from anybody besides.
You're a strong Jew. You're first of all, you're a very strong Jew. You come from Bulgaria. The Bulgarian Jews were not very strong and not afraid of God. So, and then it was Sfardi, which is another reason not to be afraid. But we are Ashkenazim from Poland and other parts of Russia. We have a lot of fear in us of God. It's two different mental attitudes.
Rabbi, I just want to point out too that I think Rabbi could change Pshat from this time from each year, in the sense that in the first time, perhaps, I might be wrong, that Rabbi presented Pshat of Sakana as a drush, on record as a drush, meaning that Sakana, the Gemara may mean Sakana, and that when Jews in America put the menorah inside, they're declaring that we're still in Golos. It's a declaration that we're in Golos, because we don't want to admit. And it had to do more with Gula versus Golas. Now we're shifting it to a halakhic position where a Jew in America puts it inside because he's afraid. So that fits more into the actual Shakti Vatari. Right. So is that the way you want to?
Either way. You put it down either way, we get correct credit. Yes.
Okay. I was wondering if I could maybe share a story from my family's from Poland. So in the Fourth War, the Rebbe, the head rabbi of the town of Auschwitz, the town my family's from, was Mary Cleo, the Auschwitz Rebbe.
Okay.
So there was going to be a pogrom in Auschwitz, and they usually would hear about it a few days before. They wouldn't just be surprised. But they would all go to sit in a London shul the whole night, and the next day they would be slaughtered. This Rebbe is very old, 87. So I mean, he has fasted 4 years. He's been fasting until that was very, very weak. and he got up in front of the shul and said, nobody's saying anything to him. We're all going to take any weapons you have, any axe or hammer or bat, and just stand outside of your door tomorrow morning. None of this davening. We're not. We're going to stand in front of your door. So he even got up with the hatchet. He's very, like, very weak, but he stood in front of the door. Nobody, he didn't say that anyone beat them up. Just stand in front of your door. And the pogrom chicken came. And they went, you know, storm into the town. They looked around, see all these Indian with weapons protecting their houses. And they just turned around and said, forget it. We're not going to.
That's another story how Gevura turned out to be more safety than Pacha.
Yeah, Polish Jews, they had it, not
some Polish Jews. I mean, you gave a story. That doesn't mean that was the rule.
City.
Yeah, I heard of Ostrich. And one story, but you said this was one time, but otherwise.
All the other times they were all.
So obviously it was an unusual situation.
But obviously that not hiding is not, I mean, putting yourself into the shul and relying on small halal shemi Torah is not, he's not, he gives you the strength. He gives you the strength to, he doesn't, we don't wait for
isn't that what Chatzkila, that's what you're supposed to work.
Chatzkila
is three things.
You know, in Mitzrayim, we mamish for stuff. But here, we're mamish not stuff. And Hashem, like, we're all, everybody's, oh, where's Mashiach? You're Mashiach. We're Mashiach. We go to Israel. Hashem gave us the strength to buy a ticket. Not, gave us plans. Going, working for, like, He's not one of so many on it, but my Rosh Hashiva in Sfat said that there's a line, there's a sticker that have in Israel on a lot of cards. Ain't only the small rock of the Yerusha Bosh HaMayim. He said that you only say that if you're in full dire straits. You're stuck. We're not stuck. You say, there's not the Shem for everything you do. No. You're not like, you do anything. I should be able to. You just need to grow up. We're not after them. Stopping girls for afraid. That's sad. It's just people are lost in like a Polish mindset. Gotta go home. I really think there's an illness. It's a real total gullus illness. Disease of Poland. Coming back to America, sending back in. They're driving around in like minivans and fancy and like, oh, we got so many halakhim shabbat mine. What are you talking about?
Wait a second.
Who? You buy a gun in the Walmart.
Hashem.
I'm just saying, it's like not something that you're gonna wait for Hashem to save us from Egypt. We're not in bondage here.
Now, if you say that the alternative. Preferred alternative is to move to Israel, then I subscribe to you. If you're suggesting that there's an alternative for Jews to brandish weapons in Gauls, like it, you have a certain story about it. One time in Poland, you're going to say that American Jews, everybody should have a BB gun or an M16 rifle in his house. And some grenades and so on, then I'm opposed. Because I think that Golus is Golus. It's not a place for Jews to use physical force for protection. That's just the way it is. The idea of Golus is that you do not have an army. So if we're going to use force of arms, Tzava, it has to be Tzva Ganal Yisrael, Vinat Yisrael. It has to be in Israel. Cannot be, we cannot have an underground or vigilante or self-protection group of Jews in America. It's antithetical to the matzav of Golus. Golus means that in some, the Jews have a certain helplessness. That's the punishment of Golus, that there's a helplessness.
But Jews has been to many places more than the going themselves.
Picha?
Jews has been longer time to a local place than the Goyim themselves. The Bulgarian country exists for 1,300 years. The Jewish community exists for 2,000 years. The same is in Germany, in Poland, in whole Europe, and in the whole world. The Jewish people, since they got spurred, they are existing more. The Italian country exists after the later Middle Ages, and the Jews as a community over there exist since Rome, 2,000 years old. So, why the Jewish people cannot convert the country into a society where Jewish people are part of the society as citizens, like here in America? The Christian religion in this country is this, but there are also other religions, and everybody else are members of the community. I mean,
I really don't think that that's...
But this is a fact nowadays. America is open country for all religions and all people from the world. There's basically a representative from all the 194 countries around the world here in this country.
Maybe you're right, and maybe I'm wrong.
I would say that the Jewish people should not have their own country and their own independence in the country. But in different countries nowadays, the whole global society is to make everything bigger and common. Common religion, common country, common goods, common commerce, common economy, everything's common for everybody.
So
if you have money, you buy it. If you don't have money,
how can you just ignore close to 2,000 years of history? The close to 2,000 years of Jewish history says that the Golus is unstable and unreliable and fundamentally dangerous. And Jews are helpless when it comes to their becoming victims in the Golos. Now, you say that things are maybe different. You think that things are different because America clearly doesn't have this.
America's converting the whole world into America everywhere.
You're an optimist.
To be a global. Russia is not the Russia which was 20 years ago, and definitely not what it was 100 years ago. Russia now is looking more like America than any other country in Europe. And the whole Europe is like that.
Okay, I can't say that I'm right and you're wrong. You may be right and I might be wrong. I wish you were right. Okay, but I myself have too much of a trauma in my brain and my heart from what I saw happen 60 years ago. And so even though I think on the surface, for sure what you're saying is true, on the surface, but there's a deeper thing below the surface. So 60 years, I can't get out of my mind what happened 60 years ago. So I can't say that there's been a deep, deep change, that it's a new world, so to speak, like you're portraying. A new global society where everybody is accepted, and differences of race and creed and religion are only superficial, incidental, but they don't really black people's total integration, acceptance, the way it's today in America. You feel that this could be something which will now be around the world and is going to stay like this. And therefore Jews should feel very comfortable wherever they are and be full members of their country.
I mean, not comfortable afraid.
And you're saying put Hanukkah on the streets like the Lubavitch, put it into the White House.
So how could the Lubavitch...
The Lubavitch...
I think the problem is our own mentality.
Right. But our mentality is a product of long history. 1,900 years.
New generation is coming, and it has to adjust to the surrounding environment.
I wish you were right. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong.
I guess the Obamacare
and I can only wish that you're right. But I myself, when I walk the streets of America, I always have a certain uneasiness in my stomach because it's a gullus. And I'm afraid that our situation here, wherever it is, could be Argentina, France, Morocco. And if I walk in Bulgaria, I feel the same. I feel ill at ease. I'm not at ease. The only place I feel okay is, I'll tell you the truth, is a Jewish section in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I walk in the Muslim quarter in Jerusalem, I do not feel at ease. When I walk Beit Lechem to go to Cave of Rachelim, I see all the Arabs, I do not feel at ease. But when I walk in the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem, Beit Shemesh, Tzfas, and I see only Jews, and it's in Israel, there I feel, you know what? This is home. And there I will put the Hanukkah candle on the streets. In America, I'm not confident enough to put it on the streets. Now, maybe I'm wrong because maybe I'm stuck in Poland. I have my family's Polish and
yes, but Levin has never been in Poland. I have been in Poland once in the concentration camps and I didn't feel so terrified from the fact that they are going butcher throwing rocks. It's normal thing. They don't like seeing Jews who are coming to visit the concentration camps.
Kala kavovacha, tiyama barach, v'yivu kamocha b'yisrael. I wish there'd be many more Jews like you.
After all, they're just going. They even doesn't
and
have
half the culture. And Joshua is also a strong Jew from Tzfas. He even wants to go back to do Hezda. And all the other Bachman. Your generation, thank God, is stronger than me. And my generation is still very weak. And you see that the Israeli government is in the hands of people like my age or older. You see how weak it is because of the memories that we have. So it's a very traumatized mind.
Isn't that ironic that this general Sharon, the toughest general in the world, has all of a sudden become the weakest prime minister?
Of course, he's still
this
Jewish.
Is not, this
he has a Jewish mind. He is. He doesn't really believe in the toughness because the toughness was only one generation. You know, it was his first 40, 50 years of his life, but it couldn't remove the 1,000, close to 2,000 years which are in his mind from his mother's milk and from his father's milk that you got to be afraid of the Goyim. So when he finally got to some point where, as Prime Minister, where he saw the whole array of countries against Israel, Russia, China, England, America, so he cracked. Because inside he wasn't so strong. It was all a bluff. It was an exterior bluff. Most of Israel is exterior bluff. All of the macro things, the Sabra, the whole thing, and especially in the army, is pure bluff. The inside, they're weak Jews. Gullus Jews. But they put on this phony exterior with tough guys. When they come to some point, they all crack. Every single one of them cracks because he's weak. The only ones, a little bit, that I can say are strong inside and have maybe lost that gullus are the Jews of Hebron, the only ones. Those Jews are really strong, but it's not too many Jews, it's less than 1,000. They're the only ones. And for people who think Hebron. Otherwise, wherever you go in the country, have all kinds of exteriors, but inside, ooh, are they weak. And you see that the guy like Shalom, who's supposed to be the toughest of the tough, he just cracked. Mamash, today he's like melted butter. Whatever bush layer these people found, it's all jumps like that. Because he got to that point where he sees the array against him. So he's pushed cracked. Because he has closer to, he's a Golas Jew, he's Ashkenazi. He's an Ashkenazi Golas Jew. And his father, unfortunately, and there's other saints. The prime minister's name, Sylvan Shalom, same butter as his prime minister. The president, Katsav, whatever his name is, Sassad, he's also, he was years ago, he was Mush. They had no, because of the Golas. So I can't blame them because I would be the same. I wish that there'd be more Jews like you. You are strong. And
it's just a matter of education. This is just a mindset.
Okay.
It's like a program for a computer. You have the hard disk, you have to download
and
the software.
Brother's a very strong guy, Yishai. This maybe your generation
is not enough credit.
I know who I am. I don't want to deceive myself or deceive you. I am a freight cat. I know exactly what I am. I couldn't take it, that level of pressure, for sure not. So, that's why I know Sharon is wrong, but I can't blame him because he's what he is. Okay, well, time. Scott.
Tomorrow I'm 11:30 again.
Tomorrow that'll be good. Hello. Yeah. Oh, lucky.